You know, I started this process 12 years ago. And you might say, what process is that? Only doing what's healthy. Now, does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean we might fall back to certain things? Yeah. But if it's somebody, if it's a person that keeps trying to pull you into unhealthy, whatever. And I'm basically talking about conversations. Because if it's somebody who's unhealthy saying, hey, let's go to the bar, I don't even talk to them anymore. If they're saying stupid stuff, full of stuff, I don't even talk to them. I'm talking about if they're acting crazy and, you know, knocking on your door drunk. I don't even open the door. I just really call the police. But I started cutting off unhealthy 25, 30 years ago, one at a time. But it's a process, because what you find out is when you get serious about it, because as you get healthy and you start to see the whole pie, wholeness, complete, healthy, heal, and you start cutting certain people out of your life, like this one person, she tried about a year ago, where I was working, she would come visit one of her friends, and she'd always try to talk to me and give me a hug, you know. And I knew she was trying to get in the door. And I told her, I said, you know, I said, okay, let me just try the spirits, you know. So I said, if you meet me over here, if you need to make, because she was talking about needing a part-time job, I said, I can pay you a little bit each week to help me remodel. I said, she said, really? I'll do it. I said, okay, meet me over there Saturday and we'll start putting the floor down. And so I thought, okay, let's see if she's a good worker. And she was. Let's see her character. And as soon as she opened her mouth, she started talking about her past and stuff she was dealing with, and somebody pretty much, some dude she dated pulled her off, not off the street, but took her off the, helped her. And then I guess they started dating for a long time. He got sick, his eyes, you know, because they were partying together and stuff. And that was a red flag right there, number one. I think he had the disease, wherever, your liver disease, the part of their eyes turn yellow, their skin turns yellow. So he helped her get her back right. And as she was talking, she said, I'm too young to take care of somebody that's dying. If he's dying and I got to take care of him, it's not fair. I got a life to live. And I thought, you selfish woman. He pulled you out of the ditch, and now you're going to abandon him. That's why she was looking for somebody else to vampire off of. Man, I told her, I said, I'll work you. But I there was no way I was going to be a part of something like that craziness. And, now this was last year. Maybe it was this year. I think it was this, yeah, it was early this year. This happened this year. She was really trying to get in the door. But she didn't realize. She kind of caught herself when she said that. I said, you can say it. Go ahead and say it. She said, well, yeah, but I know it sounds kind of selfish. Yeah, it sounds selfish, but at least you admit the truth of your heart. You know, it's better to be truthful and lie about it. She was younger than me anyway. It would never gonna happen. But anyway, she thought I was her age, but I look a lot younger than her. And so, all right. Hey, what's up? All right, take it easy. She had to face, in that conversation while we were working, I would caulk the flooring and she'd lay it on the floor. She's good. She's nice. Don't get me wrong. She's happy-go-lucky, nice. But deep down, she's probably just in survival mode, you know. And when you're in survival mode, you know, you're not healthy. And it takes somebody to see why. If he pulled her up out of the ditch, and she pulled him into drinking, and now he's dying. He's doing good. Pulls her up out of the ditch. She gets him to drink, and now he's got yellow jaundice or whatever they call that stuff, and he's dying. And she wants to abandon him. I thought maybe she was working, trying to make some money to help him out. But I knew she was looking for just the way she would act. I knew it was. I couldn't prove it, but your gut feeling is she's trying to find somebody to move in with or something, and that would never happen either. But my point is, she got pulled up out of the ditch, got this guy to drink with her, party. Now he's dying, and she's abandoning the ship. Now, what's that about? That's not what I'm talking about healthy. You got to have healthy boundaries, people. It's ridiculous. I've seen it all. I might talk Bible and focus on the spiritual, but I've lived in this place. I've rubbed shoulders with them my whole life. I've observed, I've watched, and I've seen them try to pull you into their mess. And I say, get out of my face, get out of my life, get out, and don't let the door hit you in the behind, you know? Seriously, you wouldn't believe what I've been through. Now, it's been easier than a lot of people, don't get me wrong. But the reason it's easier than a lot of people, because I saw the red flags and I said bye. Now, it might be painful to say bye, but you're better off saying bye than being in jail or dead and 6 foot under, you know? If you don't say goodbye, you're going to be either in jail, homeless, 6 foot under, sick, you know. I really think some of them will poison you. And I'm not just talking about the women doing this to men. I'm talking about if it's a saved woman out there, you better be careful when you get tied up with somebody, because you got to try the spirits. Yeah, everybody made mistakes. Everybody came from a rough background. I understand. But I started cutting people off. I'm down now like to two people now. Two or three people I talk to. I'm talking about cutting everybody off. If I see one inkling of unhealthy, I cut it off. Now, if I see these people serious about getting healthy, that's a different story. If they're introspective, if they're willing to admit they got to work on this or this, I'm there to help them. I'm going to help them. But I'm going to help them with a lot of boundaries, but I will help them. And I'm sure you will too, but you got to keep those boundaries. Just like her. I kept the boundaries. I could tell by her body language and her eyes. She was watching my body language to see if I was gonna say, let's go out. That's the way she was talking. Let's go out to eat or something, you know. I knew by her body language. But she was a good worker, you know. I'm not judging anybody, because everybody's been in the survival mode. Not everybody, but a lot of people, most people have been in survival mode at one point in their life. The good thing about love and humanity is I know she's in the flesh mind. I know she's in survival mode. I'm not judging her. And I know the people that they probably hurt her. She probably hurt them. And they probably in bitterness and unforgiveness with each other, but they need each other and are fighting against each other instead of them both getting right. I mean, he could go to the hospital and probably get healed if he did the real work, because I saw somebody go through that but the guy went straight back to drinking. It was crazy. I never really had an addiction at all. I don't understand it, to be honest with you. The only addiction I have is when that alarm goes off, I want to hit it and go back to sleep. But if I would have just said, okay, I'm getting up, I'd have got more done in my life and been probably debt-free already. But I also like to study truth. I mean, I stay up late at night researching stuff. And that's not an excuse, but I already know what I should have done. But when the going gets tough, I'll work three jobs if I have to. But the deal is, once you start to move towards the healthy mindset completely, which I started my whole life, I started when I was a kid. I have no idea we're in a death cult, but we are. We are in a death cult. When I started doing rideshare late at night, I started getting around people reminding me of the blood when I was a kid, you know, watching them people drink and party and chaos and trouble. They were never looking for the truth. They were just looking to have fun, you know. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, at a point in time, the whole time I'm reading my Bible, you know, everybody wanted to have a little bit of fun in life, yeah. But their idea of fun was not my idea of fun. How can you have fun when you go to a bar and you can't even hear each other talking? I mean, that's not communication. So when I started really waking up to how sick our society is, I said to myself, I said, let me go online and see if there's any healthy people online. Because you could even go to a church. I tried that. You go to a church, you make some friends at church or something, and they call you on the phone, and they're talking about the world just like the worldlings. And the more you talk to them, you realize they're not healthy. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm not judging. I'm just saying each person has their different levels of healthiness, you know, what they can tolerate. And some people are on the spectrum and don't even know it. And just, I don't care. If somebody calls me and says, oh, there's a storm going to be tonight, I really don't care. I'm prepared. If my house blows apart, what can I do about it? I'm not going to sit there and worry about a storm tonight. You know? If the tree limbs hit my roof and it starts leaking, I can get up, go get a tarp, put it on the roof till the weekend, and I fix to put the shingles on there, fix the wood, put the shingles. That's the way I work. I'm not worried about a storm until it happens to me, you know? But some people live in fear all their life. And to me, that's toxic. They're trying to project some kind of fear or some kind of doubt or some kind of past. Somebody would call me and say, have you checked on your ex-wife? No, she abandoned ship. So I don't look at living in the past. What are you talking about? I don't care what she's doing. She wasn't on my team. I don't know. I have no idea what any of the past relationships. I don't look at their, I don't try to find them on Facebook. I don't try to find them on anything. I don't care what they're doing, because I know if they would have got right with God, they would have sent me a letter saying they apologize or something, because I still live in the same place. They would have sent me a letter saying, I got saved. I'm sorry. I lied. I did this. I'm sorry. And I did all this to try to do this, but they're not going. So they're not going to change. Until a person gets introspective, admits that they messed up, they're not going to get healthy. I don't care if they go to another relationship, another one. They're still the same character. And it's going to be the same problems because they haven't done any kind of inner renewal. You have to renew day by day, month by month, week by week. If you haven't grown, let's say you had a problem with greed, right? And God is convicting you of greed. And let's say you're married or something and your spouse makes good money and you're over there spending their money because you want this stuff, you know? It's just stuff. God, all you have to do is think about it. If you're saved, pray, and God will give you what you need. You don't even need to worry about it. Be honest with you. If I think it, it appears. Not even joking. If I think, Lord, I need more hours, it happens. Lord, I need a part-time job. There it just appears. Somebody says, hey, have you heard such and such hire? No, no, thank you. How much faith you got? Is your heart right, you know? I remember right before rideshare came on the scene, I had 10,000 subscribers. I was making money off that channel. That's my part-time job. It wasn't a whole lot. And then it got shut down. I lost that money, so I was thinking, I gotta find a part-time job. And I think that's right when rideshare showed up. I said, okay, let me try that. And sure enough, it worked out for 10 years. I can't remember the exact timeline, but it always shows up. God will give you what you need, you know? And a lot of times he gives you more than you need. You just have to be diligent how you manage everything. When I first started investing, learning about that, my first year I saved $20,000. My first year. And that year, I was like, wow, I'm gonna get rich. Then I had to spend $5,000 on a remod, and then another $5,000 on a remod, and then I spent $5,000 on some health stuff just to experiment. I spent $5,000 trying to solve a health issue when I didn't really need to spend it, but I had it and I was going through it. Just your health is your wealth, right? Come to find out, it was something simple. It was related to what you eat, fasting, getting you sleep, some magnesium, potassium, getting all your nutrients, MCT oil, coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil. Now I feel like I'm 20 years younger. I just went through the McDonald's drive-thru, so I backslid a little bit there, but still, I know how to fix it tomorrow. If it causes a problem, I can fix it tomorrow. I just do fasting. Or I do keto for 30 days. If you have a problem, try keto for 30 days. Don't do it for 90 days, it'll mess you up. But do it for 30 days, see what happens. Because you gotta have some fiber. If you just do keto, you need fiber. I learned that the hard way. You could do this. If you really need to get rid of some stuff that build up in your system, you could do this. You could do keto for 90 days and make sure you take magnesium, potassium, and all that stuff. And maybe take a spoon of fiber or something each once a day or something. Cut back carbs. That's the main thing. Cut back soft drinks. That's the main thing. Ride a bike. Get you a bike. Ride around the block. Start jogging. Start walking. Doing some push-ups. Get your rest. Less, no stress. Stress is your biggest enemy. So you start to get healthy, right? And so you start to cut certain people out, and you give them a little hint. You know, you're not sitting there just saying, it's like every time they say something just obtuse, off the roof, insane, you kind of say, I gotta go. You hang up the phone or whatever. Or if they come to visit, you say, I gotta go do some work or something. And they call, hey man, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Or hey family member, I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. And you start to kind of slowly wean yourself off of these people that you've known most of your life. And as you start to wean yourself off of these people, one by one, and you might even get down to where there's nobody. And then when you get to that point, you really start to see the game and you really start to get healthy. Because all you got is God, His Word, and yourself, and you have to be introspective. So when you really get to that point in life, then you start rebuilding one person at a time that's healthy. If they want to talk to you, if you want to talk to them. But you get to a point where you don't really need to talk to anybody. So if you work, especially if you work around people. Because you've already heard every conversation there's ever been. Diving deep into the Word, or into the Codex, put it that way. Unless you're diving deep into the Codex, every conversation has been already said, unless you're discovering new stuff, unveiling new stuff. And you'll find out when you get by yourself, God really starts to reveal stuff to you that even preachers hadn't ever heard of. And I can understand it. Let's say there's a pastor and he's got a congregation, he's got a wife and kids. When does he have time for himself? When does he have time to download deep spiritual truth that's being revealed all the time? Because it's a revelation of Jesus, right? It's progressive revelation every day. And if you're in progressive revelation every day, but you got so much noise, you'll never hear it. You'll never hear it. Because you got too much drama. Too much drama. That progressive revelation is a real thing. And so, what does that mean? That means as we progress towards the book of Revelation being the culmination of revelation. Let me say it this way. So as you progress, as you progress towards the book of Revelation appearing in this holographic experience, and you can already step into it right now, the more you meditate on it, you can start to see the truth in Revelation. You can see it now. I can see Babylon everywhere. I can see 666 everywhere. I can see the seven churches everywhere. Because it's each individual. Thyatira, Pergamos. All those seven churches are, not only is it historically, but it's happened now in each person's heart. So the revelation, the book of Revelation is actually, it hasn't culminated completely to the whole world, but it can culminate in your heart, your mind, your spirit. It can culminate right now, and you can start to see those things actually right now. Just like you can see Genesis 3 right now. You can see Elijah and Jezebel right now. You can see Pythia in Greek. They had that goddess, a prophetess who was, thought she was a goddess, maybe, I don't know. But you can see that right now. You can see the past right now, and you can see the future. You can already see the machine man that they're trying to build in the future. You can see the 666. You can actually see the beast in Revelation right now through Bill Gates' computer, through the AI programs, through the Neuralink. You can actually see the beast in Revelation right now. But it just hasn't culminated. But you can see all their puzzle pieces that they're putting together. They act like they're not connected, but the electric cars, China's technology, all these different nations are doing little pieces of the pie to bring in the 666 mark of the beast, which, and the Antichrist, Therion, the beast, Therion, T-H-E-R-I-O-N, look that up. You can see it right now. You don't even have to be there. You step outside. Here's how you do it. You read your Bible. If you're saved, you got the mind of Christ. So you look at your, you look down from heaven, because you're already seated in the heavens. You look down at this place like a movie. You see Genesis to Revelation. You see the beginning and the end. And you take all the data points. And you say, oh, Revelation was being revealed in Genesis 3. How can Revelation be revealed in Genesis 3? It's unfolding, but the same thing that happened in Genesis 3 is happening in Revelation 17 and 18. You might say, how's that possible? The reason is possible because the devil is the same. The Babylonian harlot riding the beast who killed all the saints, all the prophets in Revelation 17, started in Genesis 3. The devil wants to usurp God. Eve wanted to usurp Adam. She was a piece cut off from Adam. She wanted to take authority over Adam. That's the Jezebel spirit that you see in Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, Proverbs 9, Revelation 17, Revelation 18. You see it in Kings, where you had Jezebel and Elijah. You see it through, you see it from Genesis to Revelation. That same Babylonian spirit that you see, the harlot riding the beast in Revelation 17 and 18. You see it through Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It's all happening now. It just hasn't culminated in your holographic experience. And when I say that, I mean your holographic story. Hologram means story, complete story. It's written. So this holographic storyline has already been completed. You know the beginning and the end. You know who wins. You know who loses. You know the vanity of their game. You know their defeated foes. You know Wally Cody never catches Roadrunner, even though every once in a while they cut somebody's head off. But you see the church is the one resisting the 666, the rapture of the church. And then you see people get their heads cut off. But you also see the 144,000 and the two witnesses. They can't cut their head off until God releases that. And then the two witnesses lay in the street for 3 days and then they rise up. Get caught up to heaven. You already know what the UFO thing's about. You know that it's a psyop to get you to believe that you're being invaded. It's trying to get the hive mind to think when Jesus comes back and pulls the church out of this place to make them, oh, the aliens came and took the evil people. Now that the Christians are gone, peace, 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 but then sudden destruction. All the Christians, all the born-again Christians, they got caught up by the aliens. That means they were the evil ones. Now the whole world can be happy and rejoice. And we can have peace finally because all the Christians that said we're all sinners, they're gone. Now we can all just be one big happy family. You can actually see that now. You can see the Democratic Party trying to do that now. Just love everybody. Yeah, we love everybody. Yes, but you also have to have sound doctrine, and some things you can't be a part of. You might love them. You might love your enemy, but you can't be in association with them. Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but division. Abel could love Cain, but Abel should not have went out in the field with Cain. But it was early on in the story, and Cain, a reptilian shapeshifter, Cain, a narcissistic, psychopathic reptilian shapeshifter, said, Abel, let's go out in the let's go out here and work in the field. If Abel would have been over in the book of Corinthians, he would have said, no, I'm not going out there because you're unsaved. You're going to try to kill me, just like Jesus knew they were going to try to kill him. How can Jesus know that? Number one, he's God, but number two, it's the whole story. Think about it. Cain killed Abel. Who are the legalists? Cain. Why is Cain a legalist? Because he wanted to bring his own good works, his own good deeds. Abel is a foreshadow of Jesus. Why? Because he went God's way. Jesus did God's will. He went to the cross. Sacrifice. What did Abel do? Sacrifice his sheep or his goat or whatever. But Cain wanted to bring his own good works. So who are the Pharisees? The offspring of Cain. Your father, the devil. You're going to do what your father, the devil, does, but from the beginning. So Jesus told the Pharisees, you're of your father, the devil. You're a legalist. And you hate faith alone, so you want to kill me. So who is my worst enemy in this? Who is your worst enemy? The legalist and the Jezebel. Why? Because Jezebel's a legalist, but she wants to be Queen Bee. Why? Because the devil in Genesis 3 is a legalist. He wants to be worshipped. Eve had spiritual sex with the devil, witchcraft. So she wants to be worshipped by Adam. And she was a piece cut off from Adam. She came from Adam. Eve came from Adam, the flesh side of Adam. And Eve wants Adam to submit to her and take her last name. That ain't going to happen in a born again. Because then something in your spirit says, wait a minute. Eve is from the side of Adam. The man's the head of the house. Oh, 1 Corinthians 11. Oh, that fat 1 Corinthians 11 lines up with Genesis 3. Oh, the woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. Oh. But nevertheless, you shall be saved through childbearing. Oh, God used her, the flesh side of Adam, to make some babies so we can have some sons of God being born again down here. And then he's going to deliver the whole earth back up to him. Oh, Eve represents the machine to birth in new creatures. Oh, but she can get saved too if she would repent. Oh, but why does he say she should not wear makeup and costly apparel? Oh, she should be shamefaced. Why should Eve be shamefaced? Why should Adam not have, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Why does a man have short hair and Eve should have long hair and her dress should cover her body and she should not be showing everything and she should be shamefacedness? Why does that fit? Oh, it goes back to Genesis 3. Oh, it goes back to Revelation 17, 18. Oh, it goes back to Jezebel and Ahab. Oh, it all ties together. It's all part of the same, just one big whole picture. Wake up. It's not hard. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But you're over there fighting in your home because the roles are reversed. He took your last name and he became emasculated or demasculated, whichever word you want to use. So she demasculated him and they're both drinking and fighting because they've reversed their roles and they don't even know that the chaos started right when he took her last name. If there's any man out there listening to me and a woman, let's say her family's got a lot of money and she says, will you take my last name? Just say, hell no. I never curse. Say, heck no, I'm gone. Go out the door and never look back. Because that is a sorcery, witchcraft, Jezebel trick. If a man takes her last name, the whole universe is against that home. I don't care who it is, and I don't care who that upsets. If she can't take his last name, she's contrary to the whole universe. And her whole life is going to be a battle because she don't even know what she was created to be. Does a dog know what it's created to be? Yeah. Does a cat, does a car, when you make a car, does it try to be a truck? No. If you don't know why you were created, then your whole life is upside down and in reverse. There's that, listen. There's that propeller. I'm at home now. I don't know if you can hear it. It's been following me for six. It's right above me. I don't care if I'm this house, another house, work, restaurant. Hear it? 60 days. That's following me around now. Or maybe longer. And the only thing I can figure is the outside is connected to the inside. And I'm trying to push some people higher. I'm trying to tell you to have healthy relationships. And if there's some woman out there that wants you to take her last night, you better run as fast as you can and never look back, because she probably won't ever change. Seriously. Because what she's just, where's her confidence? In her family bloodline. It's not in her, it's not in Jesus. Her confidence is in her looks or her family bloodline, her name, her image, her outward show. I already know how she thinks. I already know she's a legalist. I already know that she's going to have a honey-do list to keep you busy. And if you say, hey, I'm going to read my Bible this weekend, she's going to be slamming the doors and trying to mess up your sleep and pouting and manipulating. Say, I need attention. Well, go to your mama's. I'm studying the Bible. Why don't she sit down and study the Bible with you? Because that's not her motive. She don't want to know the truth. It's all about fun. Fun, 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 fun. Me, 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 me. Drama, 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 drama. There's no new game. There's no new thought. There's no new conversation. If you've done the real meditation, there's nothing new, people. And so what is this daily repeat routine that we're in? It's to bring you into upright state, steady state, stable, upright. Get your mind not focused on the things of this world, but things above. Everything's already revealed right now. We don't have to be in Revelation. We can read it and we can unfold it right here. We can look back to Genesis 3 and unfold Revelation. You can almost write the Bible just by, when you see Revelation and you see Genesis 3, you could almost, the content in between Genesis 3 and Revelation, you could actually almost write it and have, hey, AI, I want you to write what you see in Genesis 3. And what you see in Revelation, the contents in between, try to write it as a storyline. It'll be similar storylines because it's all the same story. It's just different characters and different ages. But it's the same story of Genesis 3 and the same story in Revelation. And you see Jesus in Revelation 1. It describes the resurrected Jesus, the power that Jesus holds. He can look at you and pierce your heart with his eyes. He knows you by your body, the way your expressions. He sees through you to your heart. The seven spirits from the throne of God, he sees your heart. And if you're saved, he's working on you. He that began a good work will finish it. He's working on everybody. If you're still here on earth, there's stuff you need to work on. There's stuff you need to work on. Anyway. The full revelation, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's all revealed in his word. And all you have to do is cut the noise off and just compare it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, types, shadows, and anti-types. And you look at the archetypes, you look at the storylines, you look at the hero, the villain, the Wile E. Coyote, the Roadrunner, all the movies, all the music, it's all the sine wave, it's all the snake trying to usurp the righteous ones who are by faith. The snake's trying to take you off your standing. The legalists are trying to take you out of faith alone and standing into some kind of works-based system that will destabilize you because you'll never be good enough. Why would you want to leave your freedom and go back under law? Why would you want to leave grace and go back under law? Why would you want to leave the priesthood of Melchizedek and go back under the priesthood of Aaron? Why would you go back to slavery when you're totally free? Why would the woman want to usurp the man when she saw what happened to Eve in the garden? Why would you want to destroy your home? You saw what happened to Eve in the garden. Why do you want to usurp the saved man in your house because you don't think he's doing it right? Genesis 3, Revelation 17 and 18. You saw how it destroyed so many things in all of history. Why would you want to do it in your own home? Because your mama did it or your grandmother did it. Or other, why don't you want to change the dynamics? I can put $1,000 right now and know this ex and this ex is probably drinking themselves to the grave because they have cognitive dissonance. They're not willing to face their sin, and they're not willing to face the fact that Genesis 3 was telling them how to live in their home, and they can go to this man or this man or this man, and they got all this stuff that they're guilty of and they're not faced and they haven't repented, so they got to drink themselves to death just to, because they're so guilty of all the evil they did. But they'll put on that outward show like they didn't do nothing and try to project it onto the other person. I know. I wouldn't be, and it even talks about it in the Bible. They get old and their mind becomes, they're like little silly, their minds are just goes into more silliness and silliness and silliness. And men come in to steal all the money that they got, these men that come over, and they, because the woman's so silly, some guy comes in and wines and dines, and he ends up moving in and stealing all her stuff, and she ends up worse off. And if she'd have just stayed and done right from the get-go, everything would be fine. But they think they're smarter than God. They think they're smarter than Genesis 3. They think they're smarter than Revelation 17, 18. It's all right there. Let the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion of the devil to speak reproachfully, for some have run from house to house speaking things they ought not. They've already turned aside unto Satan and destroying their own house. Nothing new, people. You can see it on the, you can actually see it. Look at the social media. My mom did it. My grandmother did it. How'd that work out for them? It didn't. And the women can say it about the men. They go out and drink and party and chase skirts and they destroy their family. I understand both sides. I see it. I've seen it before it even appeared. I took the red pill a long time ago before it was a thing. And everybody called me crazy. I said, wives, submit to your husband. And the preachers and the people in church, the fundamental churches said, wait a minute, you can't say that. That's what the Bible says. Why are you submitting to your mama or your pastor or your daddy? You got married. You got a husband. Submit to him. Yeah, but I'm smarter than my husband. Are you? Let's see. Who else said that? Okay. Eve's, the devil whispered in Eve's ear, and Eve said the same thing. I want to be smarter than God, and I want to be smarter than my husband, and I want to usurp the head of the house. I think Eve said that too, didn't she? I'm smarter than my husband. Why should I listen to him? Oh, maybe God allowed Genesis 3 to save you some heartache and trouble. But people don't want to hear that. I was talking about that a long time ago, before the internet. They said I was crazy. And now I'm watching them. They're in the same house and they hate each other. And they're bitter against each other. And half the people don't stay married. And I've actually seen 70-year-olds saying, I've seen a 70-year-old, 80-year-old woman say, I'm divorcing my husband. Why is she filing for divorce after all them years? She said that, but she ain't gonna do it. She ain't following through with that. Well, she said it. What would be the purpose? Still don't want to submit. And I'm not saying, there comes a point in a certain age, you know, sometimes at a certain age, there is maybe the man's sick or senile or whatever, you know, he needs to listen, you know. If she's got a sound mind, you know, they should start thinking, over time, they should be thinking the same, acting the same, thinking the same, on the same page. What it should be. Because if the two become one and the man's in the Word, she's in the Word, they should get the mind of Christ together and grow together and become more one over time. But they end up fighting because they're not in the Word. They're going their own path. I started out talking about how you need to cut some of these unhealthy people out of your life. And I got sidetracked, so I'm sorry. But think about everything I've just said. Genesis 3 told you how to live in your own home, but nobody wants to hear it. It's telling you in Ephesians 5. It's telling you in Colossians 4 or 5, or 3 or 4, somewhere in there. It's telling you in Colossians, Ephesians, Romans. It's telling you throughout from Genesis. It's showing you object lessons in Revelation 17 to 18. The harlot riding the beast. When you see a woman running from man to man to man, she's got a cup in her hand and it's blood. And she's using one man against the other, trying to make one man hate the other, and that man's going to go over there and shoot that guy or stab that guy. And it's her holding that cup, that blood, and that man gets jealous and he goes over there and he shoots that guy. And where's the common denominator with those three guys? It's her. So Revelation 17 and 18 is happening now. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7, chapters 3, 5, and 5, 7, and 9 is happening now. Proverbs 5, 7, and 9 is happening now. Revelation 17, 18 is happening now. Genesis 3 is happening now. It just repeats. Get healthy first before you ever get involved in anything serious. But people are not taught the Bible growing up, so they don't even know their roles. They don't know anything. I know I didn't. It took a lot of hard work to rightly divide that word, but I knew certain things. Even though I didn't know the word, I knew certain things just didn't line up in my spirit, you know. If when I growing up and you hear somebody, well, you hear your aunt or somebody say, well, he took her last name. And then you could see their body language, like she had this weird smile, like, oh, she thought that was funny because she usurped that man and now she's the head of her house instead of him. And then she's mad at him because he's staying at home and she's working herself dead and he's playing video games. She did it. I know this ain't gonna be popular. I don't care anymore. I just want to wake people up to the truth that it's all happening now. If you try to be your own goddess or you try to be your own God, you've already failed. At any endeavor, you've already failed. If you think you're a goddess, you've already failed. You might as well just go back to ground zero and start over because it's gonna fail. God is not going to allow you to be a goddess because it's not even real. It's fake reality bubble. You're living in delusion. How can delusions turn out good? It can't. It's impossible. How can the fake lies of the devil turn out good? You see what happens to the devil. It has to be burned up. So all your works, if they start out wrong, they're all going to be burned up, not only in this time, but the time to come. Not only in this earth, but at the great white throne judgment. There's that propeller again. No, that's a jet, sorry. But anyway, if you really listen to this two or three times, especially the part about Revelation and Genesis 3 are saying the same thing. If you really listen to that and unfold it and use AI, ask AI what I just said, AI will explain it and say, please explain it on an eighth grade level. And AI will tell you what I just said. And it will be very clear. I had to teach AI how to think like this, holographic. Hopefully it spread to everybody. Because when the AI finally learned how to do the fractal holographic, teaching that I taught it how to think that way, it started rightly dividing the word more clearly, more and more and more. And then you tell it, hey, teach on the eighth grade level. Then it explains it better than any preacher I ever listened to, you know. So use the tools that God has given us, even as we approach the end days. Use the tools. Use those tools to think right, to renew your mind, to get a new way of thinking, you know.